Well, a very good day, and welcome to A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel, and today we're going to be preaching the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're studying the life of the Apostle Peter and how he was a witness of the gospel. Of course, Peter was one of the apostles and became the chief of the apostles. And of course, the Catholic Church recognizes Peter as the first pope of the Catholic Church. Now, we in the Protestant faiths, and I'm a Baptist, so I'm part of what the Catholics would call the Protestant denomination. The Protestant denomination is composed of many denominations, of course, but we do not recognize Peter as the pope. We recognize Peter as the chief apostle, and we're looking at the life of the apostle Peter today as a spokesperson. He called himself a bondslave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, before we have our message today, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for your great love. Thank you for your Son Jesus, whom you sent to be the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Thank you, Jesus, for coming, for assuming the form of man, being born of the Virgin Mary, conceived of God the Holy Spirit. Thank you for going to the cross, Jesus. Thank you for being obedient to God's plan from the foundation of the world, for you to come, for you to go to the cross, for you to be the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, for you to hang upon that cross, shed your blood, lay down your life for us, to pay sin's debt for us, for all of mankind. Thank you that your blood, your sacrifice, your life was sufficient to pay for all sin, for all mankind, for all time. Thank you that all sin is paid for, and that we can come and confess our sin and receive forgiveness and cleansing based upon your word, Father, based upon your faithfulness. Thank you. Thank you for your plan of salvation. Thank you, Father, for your blessings. Thank you for your word that you gave to us. Thank you for your great, great love, your mercy, your grace. Thank you, Father, for every blessing. Thank you for the home that awaits us in heaven. We just rejoice in it and rejoice in Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Now, Holy Spirit, as we open this word today and proclaim it, we ask for you, Holy Spirit, to be our spokesperson. Speak through me the truth that you would have spoken to the glory of God, to the exalting of the name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, again, dear friend, thanks so much for joining us today for A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. From 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, we read these words, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that they may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in fullest measure." Now, Peter says he's writing to aliens, aliens of this world, scattered throughout this world. He refers to himself as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 1 of 2 Peter, verse 1, Peter refers to himself as a bond servant. Listen to verse 1 of 2 Peter, chapter 1. "Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ." So Peter really kind of summarizes who he is, what he is, who he's writing to, and who Jesus Christ is in the first verses of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, and 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. He refers to himself as an apostle in both instances, in both lessons, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, that means a follower, and one who proclaims the word of God. Now, to be an apostle at the time of the apostle Peter meant that you must have walked with Jesus. You must have been with him. You must have been taught directly by him. That's what an apostle meant at the time of the writing of this scripture, around 62 to 63 A.D., when this was written by the apostle Peter. Now, he refers to himself as an apostle, a follower of Jesus, a proclaimer of the gospel, and he refers to himself as a bondservant of Jesus Christ. A bondservant is one who has no life of his own. He is bound to his master. His master rules and reigns his life, and that's truly what we should be. As children of God, we should be bondservants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that term Lord means that he's Lord of our lives, that he's ruling and reigning in our lives. Not only is he our Savior, but he is our Lord as well. And to describe ourselves as a servant or a bondservant means that we are humbling ourselves before God. We're humbling ourselves as a servant to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Master, our Savior, our Lord, our Master. So Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives and Lord of Peter's life, and therefore he spoke of himself as a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that should describe all of us, my friend, today, as bondservants of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of those of us who have really, truly trusted in Jesus, who have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who have surrendered our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ as the Apostle Peter did. We are servants. We are bond servants. Now, we then do not have a rulership of our life on our own. We don't control our life ourselves. We have yielded control of our lives to our Savior, to our Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, I stress that because that is lacking so much in our society and even in our churches today, a true surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, a true attitude of humbling ourselves to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. We refer to him as Master, but not necessarily as our personal master, which he is if we're a true child of God, having received Jesus Christ into our heart and into our life as our Savior and also as our Lord. Now, that is what it's all about. The gospel, the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to pause just a moment and share with you here in the middle of this message today a song that speaks of this so clearly, a song that speaks of proclaiming the gospel. Paul and Peter and all of the apostles were witnesses for Jesus Christ. You and I are called to be witnesses. That means to share the gospel. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, just before he ascended to the Father, you are to be my witnesses, first here in your home area, then your neighbors on your street or in your area, and then ever broaden your circle of witness to finally include the whole world. Be my witnesses. Be my messengers. Be my proclaimers of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This song gets it right. This song stresses the importance of proclaiming the gospel, the importance to pastors and preachers and evangelists, but also to all of us who are the children of God, to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, to proclaim the truth of the gospel. Listen and enjoy this song. It will bless you.
Apostle knew the end was near as he dipped his pen in ink. He wrote, "Timothy, my son, I have fought the fight of faith. Carry on what I've begun, but most of all I pray. Preach the word, preach the cross. Preach redemption to a lost and dying world. Lift your voice unashamed of the gospel of His name. Until all have heard, preach the
Amen, amen. That song has it right. That was Gold City, a song written by Jim Davis, and what a wonderful, wonderful message it has and contains. Preach the word, my friend. Preach the word. That's the gospel message today. And that's what we're talking about today. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Peter refers to himself as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just an apostle, but specifically an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in chapter 1, verse 1 of 2 Peter, he refers to himself, in addition to being an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, he refers to himself as a bond servant. A bond servant. Peter is saying, in essence, the same thing Paul said. Paul said, "Woe be unto me if I preach not the gospel." Peter is saying, that is who I am, a proclaimer of the gospel message, a proclaimer of Jesus Christ, a witness of him, a witness for him. And what do we witness to, my friend? We witness to the gospel, pure and simple. Now, what is the gospel, my friend? The gospel is this, in a nutshell. Listen carefully. First of all, it is the person of Jesus. Jesus, who left his throne in glory, came to earth as a little baby, took on the form of man, born of the Virgin Mary. And that's important. Yes, he was conceived of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. God is his Father. Jesus is the Son of God. He is God, my friend. So that's critical. That's important. Jesus came to earth, took on himself the form of mankind for a time, walked among us as a man, and yet he was fully God. He was God and he was man. He was 100% God. He was 100% man. Now, that is something we can't understand. We can't understand how that can be true. If it's 100% man, then it would seem to us to be 0% God. If it's 100% God, it would seem to us to be 0% man. But the Bible clearly gives us this information. Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was the only begotten Son of God, sent to the earth to take on the form of mankind, to live among us, to walk among us, and to go to the cross of Calvary as the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the earth. That means it was God's plan from the beginning of time for this to happen. You know, man's fall was no surprise to God. It didn't take him by surprise. He didn't have to come up with some plan all of a sudden to redeem mankind. This was in place from the beginning of time. Jesus was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, from the foundation of time. Jesus was planned to come to the earth from the beginning of time to be the Savior of mankind, to be the Redeemer of mankind. You see, Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, and through Adam and Eve's sin, sin entered into the world, and all the descendants of Adam and Eve have the nature of sin within them, and that's every human being ever lived on this earth, ever living today upon this earth. Whoever will live has the same Adamic nature. The nature of Adam, the nature of sin. We're born into the state or condition of sin. Now, the whole Old Testament is about the law of God, the Old Covenant, that was based upon a series of animal sacrifices, shedding the blood of animals to cover the sin of mankind. But the blood of animals could only cover, and only if it was done properly in God's way, in obedience to God's command, would it suffice as a covering for the sin of mankind. But the New Testament in Jesus Christ, when he came into this world as God, yet becoming a man, and he walked and taught and preached upon this earth for a 3.5-year period of time. And then he went to the cross of Calvary. Now, he had explained to his apostles that this was the purpose for which he came. Remember back when Peter correctly identified him as the Lamb of God, the Son of God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Peter said. Jesus said to Peter, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. And then he went ahead to say, Jesus went ahead to explain to them, Now that you understand that I am the Christ, that I am the Son of God, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the promised one. You're the Messiah. Now that you understand that, understand why I'm here. Now, at this time in history, right now I came to be Isaiah's suffering servant. I came to go to the cross. I will come again in power and great glory to rule and reign. But for us, that has not happened yet. That's still future. For us, the going to the cross by Jesus Christ, to be the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, to hang there upon the cross and die there, shedding his blood and laying down his life. Now, something to understand here, dear friend. Jesus said, No man takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. So no one took Jesus' life from him. He voluntarily gave up his life. He surrendered to the plan of God. He became sin there on that cross. He took upon himself sin, and thereby God turned his face away from him. And because of that, Jesus said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was because he, at that moment, was taking upon his shoulders the sin of the whole world, the sin of all mankind, the sin of the past, the sin of the present, the sin of the future. He took upon himself all the sin of mankind there on the cross of Calvary, and he paid its debt. The wages of sin is death. He paid that debt with his life. He laid down his life, and he shed his blood. And he was the perfect sacrifice, and he paid for all sin for all mankind upon the cross of Calvary. And then when that was finished, he said from the cross, It is finished. It is done. Meaning that I have completed the task I was sent here to do. I have completed the job. I have paid sin's debt for all mankind for all time. It's done. So, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit, he said. And he breathed his last from that human body. And that body then was a lifeless body hanging upon the cross. The body was took down from that cross in accordance with God's prophetic word. It was placed in a borrowed tomb by Joseph of Arimathea, and we think that probably Nicodemus helped him. Josephus, the historian, speaks of that. The Bible does not, but Josephus says that Nicodemus, the one who came to Jesus by night back in John chapter 3, helped Joseph of Arimathea to bury the body of Jesus in a hasty fashion because Jesus breathed his last around 3 p.m. in the afternoon. He hung there upon the cross for a time after that. And then his body was taken down from the cross and placed in that tomb and prepared for burial, wrapped in the linens in a rather hasty fashion because Joseph and Nicodemus, if it was indeed him who helped, wrapped the body of Christ, prepare it hastily for burial. That had to be done by 6 p.m. that afternoon because at 6 p.m. the Sabbath started. Saturday, the Sabbath for the Jews. And no work could be done on the Sabbath. So if they were there, wrapping that body and preparing that body for burial, and it got 6 o'clock, they had to stop. Or they would be violating the law. So they hastily put the body of Jesus in that borrowed tomb, sealed it, and got it done before 6 o'clock that evening, when the Sabbath day started. Now, the rest of the story is that on Sunday morning, the body of Jesus, by the very power of God, was raised out of that tomb. He came out of that tomb, and over the next 40-day period of time, he appeared something like 13 times to various ones, women and men. At one time, more than 500 brethren were gathered together when they saw the risen Lord, when he appeared to them. But in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we see Jesus saying to those, "You are to be my witnesses, first here in Jerusalem, then to Judea, then to Samaria, and then finally to the uttermost part of the world. You are to be my witnesses." So that's what God is requiring of all of us as children of God. Like Peter, we are to be a bondservant. We're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have placed our faith and trust in Him. We have received Him into our heart and into our life as our Savior and Lord. Now, I went over that rather hastily, but let me just summarize for you now very quickly. Let me put it in a nutshell. The gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is this. Jesus was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. That was God's plan. At the right time, Paul writes in Galatians chapter 4, God sent forth His Son into the world, born of the Virgin Mary, conceived of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus comes into the world as a little baby, and He grows up as any other boy would grow up. The Bible says He increased in favor and stature with God and man. But He was God, yet He was man, as I explained before. He ministered, He taught, He preached. He said, "You've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one," He said. Hebrews says that Jesus was the exact representation of God. No difference, no error. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Yet He was the Son of Man too. He came into the world as a human being. He ministered for 3.5 years. He went to the cross of Calvary. He hung upon that cross. He shed His blood. He laid down His life to pay sin's debt for all mankind. He paid for all sin, for all mankind, for all time upon the cross of Calvary. His lifeless body was taken down, placed in a borrowed tomb. On the third day, by the power of God, He was resurrected. He lives forevermore. There in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, after He spoke, "You shall be my witnesses," and gave that command to all of us, He rose into the heavens. And two men were there, saying, "Ye men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus that you've seen go into the heavens will return in like manner," and He is to return yet. Yes, the gospel is not finished, the story of Jesus. He's coming back first to catch His church away. He's coming back then, some 7 years after that, at the end of the tribulation period, to rule and to reign upon this earth, to become the master of the world, the ruler of the world. And of His kingdom there shall be no end, the Bible tells us. So the gospel is the story of Jesus, His birth, His death, His resurrection, and His promised return. That's the gospel. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is the gospel. There is nothing else in the gospel. There is no one else in the gospel. There is no other way to God our Father than through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. As Peter himself proclaimed, as we have recorded in Acts chapter 2 and again in Acts chapter 4, where Peter preached great sermons, and he said, "There is no other name among God whereby you must be saved other than the name Christ Jesus." That's as true today, my friend, as it was when this was written by the Apostle Peter in 62 or 63 A.D. It hasn't changed. The gospel doesn't change, my friend. It is our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, our proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ until He comes again. Preachers, proclaim the word. As this song so well puts it. Preach the word. Preach the cross. Preach redemption to the lost and dying world. Lift your voice, unashamed of the gospel of His name, until all have heard. Preach the word. That commandment is for all of us, to be witnesses of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be His witnesses of His gospel to our friends, to our family, to our neighbors, to our communities, to our state, to our nation, to the world. Preach the word. Preach the word. Share the word. Be a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, my friend, is a good word from God's word for today. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel.